Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex.
Welcome everyone back to another episode of Shollycast. In this episode, we have the artist Hecky with us. Hello, Hecky.
Hi.
So what can you tell us about yourself, Hecky? What kind of work do you do?
I do mostly Lolly, sometimes Shota art, but mostly I try to stick to like a comic series that I've been working on for a pretty long time now called Bad Citizen, which is, yeah, it's a Lolly Shota comic, a straight Shota for that pairing, and technically Shota, but it's trans mask Shota with an NLM relationship.
I did take a look at some of the pages of the comic, so it's like a an adult man and a trans Shota, is that right?
Yes.
Cool. And the other pairing I think was like an adult woman and a Shota.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be all my queer nonsense. A non-binary she they, so like yes, female bodied. I would go with a straight Shota pair.
Oh, okay, I understand. And how long have you been doing this kind of art?
Oh my god, actually not that long. So basically when my Barod says I joined is when I started drawing not just Lolly porn, but like porn in general. I've been like doing figure work my entire life. I went to college studying comics. I've done this and the third. But something about porn was always really inaccessible to me as an artist. And one day my partner showed me Barod and was like, you should just fuck around and do it. And I don't know, kind of spiraled from there, right? Like I made an account, I posted a couple pictures, people responded to it positively. I was just getting out of working explicitly serving for like 6 years and not really having time for art. And like, so even a singular like got my endorphins going like crazy. So I just kept at it. And now it's been about 3 years.
That's awesome. And I know Hydro would agree that when, especially as a Lolly and Shota artist, because it's so niche and, you know, it's kind of not fully accepted everywhere. When people do like your stuff and like voice their support for your stuff, it means a lot.
Yeah, especially as somebody who like, I don't think has a very anime style and also doesn't have like a Simpsons style or like a cartooning style. It feels really nice to feel like this specific, very like American comic book illustration is working in that space as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I know our first guest, Glassfish, she had like a very, very comic book style because her stuff was all about like the American superhero stuff.
Oh yeah, like the being able to do like a DC Marvel style is magical. Like it's so precise and so particular, and it's so like not popular in like a, oh, it's a popular way. Like, it's just so good with anatomy, and especially for porn, there's something so playful.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Mm.
So was there any kind of comment that really about your work from people on Barag that really stood out for you?
I mean, the first thing that really got me involved was the fact that like this was a test for me. I was just trying to learn how to draw porn. I was trying to learn how to draw like just press myself to start drawing more, period. But that turned into me drawing a lot of different body types and a lot of different races and a lot of different kinds of lollies that, from what the response on Barog felt like, wasn't seen that much. Like, I remember specifically getting a comment from somebody being like, I never see POC lollies drawn the way that you draw them. And there's something like, and that means so much to me as like a non-white person who feels like I can't project onto a lot of characters that I see. And I feel like so many people, like the one person, that you interviewed talking about projection, like we should be able to get all different kinds of bodies and all different kinds of like experiences, like not like sexually, but like lifestyle wise or personality wise or just like lived experience wise shown in such as porn, that of porn that can be so healing, but also a porn that's just porn and fun and everyone's kinks are different and everybody likes something different, so let's give it to them.
I actually got comments very similar to that with D-Gen Comics, which I work with Highwear on, which I don't know if you're familiar with D-Gen Comics, but you know, one of the most recent comic that I'm working on with him involves a very cute black lolly, and the a lot of people responded like, oh man, you never see POC lollies, and you never see them accurately done with like their skin tone and stuff. And it was really interesting getting those kinds of comments. But that was something I was very consciously aware of. Like I was just like, all right, Highwear, you know, I noticed that whenever POC characters just in general are drawn, a lot of times they never do like the skin tone right along the palms of the hands and the soles of the feet, and I'm just like, and that bothers me. and so let's obsessively make sure that it's right. And I remember we spent like a long time actually making sure to hone it in to make it look good. So, and sure enough, we got people commenting being like, oh, that's awesome that you put that extra effort into it.
Yeah. Like I had somebody commission me once, and their character was POC and like a young black man, and the palms of the hands on the one illustration were completely black, and I was like, hey, and I drew it like, I guess, correctly in my eyes or in like human anatomy wise. And he was like, oh, I love that you did that, but I've commissioned so many people who haven't done that it's incorrect to the character's look. And I was like, oh, wow. And they're like, yeah, I just had to div it up and it stands out. So can you just fill it in? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess I can fill it in. That works. And like, that just shows how little, like, it's just not it's a second thought. And like, it not just for specifically like black bodies, but just in general, like it's just a second thought to add something that isn't the normal, like dark hair or blonde, which I wholly fall into the constant drawing blonde girls thing or blonde mollies. It's just my go-to because it's my personal favorite. But like, either blonde or black hair, about skinny as a rail,
flat as a board,
timid looking. Yeah, flat. Why? Well, listen. Some things you just gotta go with.
Yes, I do prefer the flat as a board lolly.
Oh, absolutely. Saying, I guess like a little bit of like, because of softness, that's the only use for me.
Yeah, I mean, like if she, you know, she has some weight to her, there can be a little extra padding in that area.
Yeah, then I can take it. But like, if we're getting into like character design where that's happening naturally, I'm like, I can't. That can't even wash this.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I totally get that. And like in our first game that we made, the lollies do have like very small breasts, but like still not flat. And because our personal preference is that the lollies are flat, we made sure that in the second game they were flat as a board, which was great to implement into the game.
Oh yeah, and like that's like the funnest part of this, right? We get to create our desires, our kinks, our this, our that, our like little thoughts and fantasies that we've had for so long but no one's ever made, so we just get to do it. Like, being a creator in like the porn field is so liberating in a way that, especially me being so new to even considering it, like compared to like most people who like drawing lolly has been a goal for them for so long, like it just being something that I was like, I would like to do this, did it, and went, wow, my life is different now. But like, I just feel so good about like being able to like create these images that have just lived up there rent free for so long. Now, I bet you guys feel the same way with your stories.
Yeah, and I'm so happy you feel that way about your art and your creation, because, well, I just want everyone to be happy, first of all. But it's like, you know, some lolly and shoto creators kind of feel negative about their stuff because of the climate and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to hear that, like, it inspires you and everything.
I mean, I will say, like, and I think all of us in this community can vouch for this. It sucks that I have an entire portfolio of art that I can't show anybody, including most of my closest friends. Not my closest, like my roommates and all that. But like anybody just outside the door of my house, I'm like, no, I promise I work really hard and I'm always making art. I'm not just saying I'm an illustrator with nothing to show, but you'll never fucking see it.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yep. We totally get that feeling. I mean, there's nothing else more to say, because that's exactly the case. And I mean, it's not in just the context of you know, your friend circle. I mean, that in itself is kind of a challenge, too. But it's like you also can't share it on certain websites, can't yeah. promote it on Discord servers because Discord doesn't allow it. You can't. So and that's part of the reason why we came up with this podcast, was because there really aren't a whole lot of platforms for Lolly Shota creators to be able to promote their stuff and just talk about it in general. I mean, you can't even talk about it in spaces, basically.
Or it's like you can't talk about it in like a you know, business way, right? Or like the fundamentals of it being a job, like. Because it feels like you're either talking about it with somebody who it's their kink and they're like, oh yeah, this is so hot and this is that and this is that. I can't talk shop with motherfuckers. Like, I can when I meet people on Barra, then we sit and we chit chat and so on and so forth. But like, I was going to say, like, the one, like, on top of the friends conversation, my main issue is that, like, it is almost like a snake eating its own tail, because I have this huge portfolio of work, but I could never show it to, like, a business that I'm trying to get hired for illustration for. Like, again, like, this is my career. Like, this is what I went to college for. This is, like, where my connections are. This is where all this is. But there's no way to really bridge the gap between either stop paying rent because I can't do my commissions and working on portfolio-based work for normal people and for future jobs, or just keep doing this and, like, living a modest, okay life with a second job, you know? It's really interesting, and it's hard because I do love it. It's like if I hated this and all that, it'd be so much easier. But like, if I could just draw Lolly and Shota all day and pay my rent and eat food, I would die happy.
Well, I think that day will come. You know, Dr. X and I have talked about how we think that the climate and the tides are turning for the better. I think eventually you will be able to do that kind of stuff, and be able to branch out to advertise to more and actually, like, you know, show your portfolio more.
And we're not in the same circles, so maybe you're seeing something that I'm not. But I do think we all probably have that deep wish of, like, I want to move to Japan so I can just, you know, sell my work at a fucking convention, like a roulette deal, so badly.
Yeah, that's one of our dreams, is to sell stuff at conventions. I probably not in person, because I hate traveling.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
like eventually, sell merchandise of our stuff there would be so fucking awesome. And I actually don't think it's unattainable.
Yes, because recently there has been a publisher called J18 who have actively been releasing and publishing basically hentai mangas that are translated from Japan, but they're like, some are Lolly, some are Shota, some are straight Shota, and they're selling them. They actually went to what was it Anime Expo, and they had a huge booth, and they were,
oh my god.
And I mean, on top of selling, like, you know, regular stuff, they were selling that, and, you know, they're growing pretty fast. They're growing more and more. And they, what's really cool about them is they will sell uncensored versions of hentai mangas from Japan, which is really cool.
Well, you never find that shit.
No, you never do. And the fact that they're actively promoting the Lolly stuff, the Shota stuff, that's a good sign, because that means that there's gonna be platforms that are growing, And it's one of those things where J18 is an organization. They're a company. So it's harder for people to go after them and try to like cancel them because they're a company. They're not like an individual person. Not clout, but like they basically, what are they really going to be going after? Like, you know, there's no individual person they can target.
Clout, they have more lawyers.
So in other words, you know, the antis and the Twitter people would have a harder time trying to take them down because, as you said, they have lawyers there because they're a company.
Yeah, no, that I had no idea. Thank you so much for giving me this information, because this is making my day.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, I had no idea, like, because it's such like, and like you said, I'm not interested in talking about antis. I'm not interested in talking about like the discourse or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
But I think this is such an important movement for people and for like sexuality as a whole, like, and just like expression as a whole, like, and healing, as I was saying earlier, for people who like this is a coping mechanism for, and so on and so forth. Like, there's just so much good that being able to genuinely be open about like this thing that's a cartoon, so whatever, that turns you on and gets to be like part of your lived experience. You get to meet someone at a con who's holding a comic that you want. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it really does. And you know what you said really resonates with me as well, because it absolutely is the Shonen Lolly thing, but as well as, you know, the other, you know, quote unquote problematic kinks, they are more important than people realize.
Yeah.
And you know, it can be feel very liberating to be able to talk to other people who are into the same stuff and aren't judgmental about it and understand, you know, and that it doesn't, you know, because you know it's just cartoons and shit, it doesn't hurt anyone.
It's like the I always say, like, with my friends Yura Lolicons and Shotokans, I'm like, I want like Lolicons and Shotokans to be like, because like living in such like a like closeted kind of online space is not always great for the mental health. I'm like, I want to see more people in this community like having good jobs and like doing all this and the third, except for like that one singular guy who commissions you that big commission from time to time, who you have no idea where they came from or who they are. Like, that's the only time you get anybody, it feels like, who like seems like, I'm like, do you secretly have your shit together? But I also could be absolutely wrong, because my friends are also all like queer poor people, so I have a very small pool of very specific lived experiences that I have to pull from.
Being open about this, my work and stuff like that, of course, I'm not, when I say that, I don't mean like telling everyone I know, like telling my neighbors and shit and my normie friends, but like, you know, having people to talk to about it, you know, and not feeling alone or, and I think that's super important for Lolicons and Shotokons, because sometimes they can feel alone and, you know, that can affect their mental health. So I would say that anyone who feels like they're struggling with that interest, you know, try to find friends in the community and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I think people who have normal kinks, even normal like hentai kinks, have so much that they take for granted and they don't even know it. It's like, oh my god, you're so wild. You like to be hit. Like, you like to be spanked by daddy. You're crazy. I'm like, I draw non-con lolly. I'm sorry. I thought, like... Send me straight to jail.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. Dr. X and I have talked about this before in previous episodes, where that there is the non-con community, the zoophilia community, and the Lolly Shota community, that they like that they all kind of are in the same pool together in terms of being very, very, very like marginalized, and yet. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes one will try to grandstand over the other. Like I have seen people say things like, "Well, I mean, I do non-con art, but at least I don't do things like drawing lolly non-con art." I mean, that's crossing the line. Or you'll have somebody say like, I mean, I draw lolly art, but at least I'm not showing, like, you know, a dog fucking a lolly, because that
you're like literally ruining my life right now because I draw so much non-con zoo lolly, but she like has a three that it's like, yelp, oh no.
And see, you have the trifecta, so like
I can't, this is why I don't have a Twitter. I show my face there and I'm getting doxxed same day. I can't do it. I don't trust it. Like,
you're so right though about the about people who are into like fetishes that they think are like really fringe, and they're just like, oh my god, you like getting spanked. That's really degen, bro. And that's
yeah. I'm just imagining like someone's like into feet. Like, oh my god, am I a freak?
Yeah, you are.
There was actually like a there was actually a parody, like, I don't know if you've seen like on Twitter, that's kind of trending a little bit, that like Mets mascot.
I saw it because I was looking at Fishbowl or Glassbowl, but yeah, Fishbowl. I opened their stuff and I saw that for the first time, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Where I leave and this is here now?
and it's so funny because like there are people who are not unironically on Twitter being like, oh my god, I'm gonna be such a degen for liking this baseball mascot. And I'm just like, man, that is so low on the totem pole for degen stuff. And it's just really funny.
I was even semi joking to Hydro, that mostly joking but a little bit not, that it almost feels like appropriation of the culture of like taboo fetishes, like actual taboo fetishes.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're like, oh my god, am I going to jail for liking the baseball mascot with a fat dumpy? And it's like you don't fucking know what we have to deal with, bro.
No, it's like people be thinking that we're murdering motherfuckers because I like some big ass anime eyes. I like my head's bigger than I like my ass is, and for some reason, and I know this is, I feel like this is kind of getting on the context of like how we're talking about how we're going to talk about antides and stuff, but it also feels like liberation kind of speak at the same time, because I feel like we shouldn't have to engage in that, these conversations, but also, when do you get to, at least for me, because I don't really play in on Twitter spaces and so on and so forth, but I guess, so for me, this is not a normal conversation to have.
Yeah, it's like, well, with the whole anti thing, it's like what we try to avoid is like talking about in a way that is like negative in the sense of like depressing talk. Like, I know sometimes people are like, man, the antis are gonna win. Like, you know, Lolly Shoulder is gonna get banned, and you know, that's what we kind of want to avoid. Like, but in terms of if we're like, you know, like, man, the antis are like silly, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, that's fine, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, we're allowed to taunt shit, we're just not allowed to be on their side.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. Not, you know, we can't be like, man, we should just give up.
And I mean, the thing too is like, we don't want to like disparage antis either, because what we're trying to do is get them to be more accepting of our stuff over time.
And I think about that all the time, like, because again, they are kind of rooting for the same thing we are, they just aren't using it, or they aren't saying it in the same way we are, where like liberation and like all of that, of like how, again, I'll say for the third time, people use this to process trauma, like, not to be too like deep and depressed, but I'm a CSA survivor, big reason why I draw trans young men, like F to M men, is because like I was like, oh, that was my body, and that is me, you know what I mean, and that is catharsis, and that is healing, and so on and so forth. Like, and they want the same thing, they want people who have been harmed by shitty things to feel better, and they just go about it in such a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we all want those people to like to you know, understand what they're doing when they harass others, and how they're doing things that are counterproductive, and we all want people to get better, you know what I mean? So even, you know, even if you might like have a snarky comment about them or something, it's not like, oh man, I hope they burn in hell or anything.
Literally
like that.
Never, no, it, like,
yeah,
gone in someone's DMs ever. But hey,
yeah, it's like, Like, yeah, I have compassion for all kinds of different people. And I know some of the people in the Law and Show community were formerly antis.
Yeah.
I would think that showing compassion would make a person more likely to, you know, see your side on the Law and Show debate.
Yeah. No, I have one roommate who was starchly against it, but this motherfucker was moving in with me and my office is in the living room. So you gotta stop being against it. I'm sorry. It was a really long conversation and it felt so weird. It felt like I was coming out as something worse or something along those lines. I was just like, hey, this is just a thing I draw. And they're like, oh, I don't know if I can, I don't know. And I was like, you dating my best friend, you gotta have to be okay with it. And with time though, they were like, oh yeah, it's just fucking Rollins. And I was like, exactly. And now, not a single issue, but it's just about, so many people who think that they're antis just don't have the words or the ability to express it or their feelings in a way that doesn't feel so charged.
Yeah, exactly. And if they get into a place where they can have like an honest and open and open-minded conversation, they can definitely turn around.
Or if they're forced to because their partner will dump them if they hit a best friend, that also works.
Well, you know, it takes all kinds.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just gotta be too much and it works.
Mm-hmm. And I think what also helps is, well, this fits with your example, is if a person who's unsure about Law and Show or any of the other kinks, if they know someone who's into it and is kind of like just a nice person, like, in other words, if they realize that we're just normal, you know, people.
Yeah.
The podcast can help with that. I mean, it's mostly just for people who are already into this.
Yeah, this is like an insider podcast. They feel like we're saying a bunch of things that they all think all the time, regardless.
It's an insider podcast, but I guess like if you think you'd be safe enough, people might want to consider talking about it with their friends if you think you'd be safe enough.
Yeah, I definitely told two of my close, like, outside of the house friends about my comic. The one asked to read it and I was like, do you really want to harm yourself in this way? And they got to the first porn page and they said, I really liked the first 8 pages. That's like, good.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, they're like, I love the first 8 pages. And I was like, so you did a read page 9? And like, no, I have stuff. But like, and then I have another friend who I told about drawing Lolly too. And it was really funny because we were at the beach and all my other friends are trying to pressure me into like working on my portfolio. And they were like, just put your porn in your portfolio. And my friend goes, they can't. And it was so nice to have that, like a moment of like catharsis with a friend who gets it. And I was like, you understand me. Both of which were super like hesitant about it at first. And like that one is like the only other person I know who watches anime in my friend group. And they like, It's just really cool to see, like, being an approachable, kind person, or like, especially me being like queer and having that community, having this community. And I don't think I'm the ugliest person in the world or like this on third, mm-hmm. You know, like being a pretty normal dude, it really helps, because it's just like, there might be a day where someone comes up to you or like you're just like, you know, somewhere with like somebody made you go on a date with or something, and you might see something on their fall and that's Lolly or Shota or something like that, and to not have that reaction of dehumanization, but to like be like, oh, I have a friend like that, like, come on. And sounds sick.
Yeah, exactly. And well, on that point, like, you know, I'm not into, you know, I'm not necessarily into all the kinks that are banned by Patreon and other sites. You know, all those big band kinks, like
all my kinks,
bestiality, rape/non-con.
Yeah, where are the other ones?
I am into Law and Show, so I'm not going to list those. I think, well, not as you probably know, non-con is such a like a big umbrella term, so it includes
mind control.
Mind control's non-con.
Yes, according to Patreon. Look, Patreon considers step relations to be incest, so let's not.
Oh yeah, how could I forget that? I mean, we literally had an incest yes. Episode. So yes, incest is also banned by Patreon, including step incest for some
which
reason.
Is not a real thing.
Incest specifically is so... No, it's not. It's just called two people who aren't related.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there are some people who think like best childhood best friends to lovers is basically incest. So like,
Oh God.
Bro, I don't care. Like, and Patreon is very intense.
Yeah. Yeah, we have history with Patreon because we had to remove our game because Lolly has Shota has incest.
Oh my god, the trifecta.
Yes. It didn't really have non-con. Mm. Well, there's with non-con, there's as I said, there's so much and such an umbrella term.
Yeah.
So it can even, at least with a more loose interpretation, can even just include someone who's kind of more assertive and might let's say pull someone's pants down without asking. Mm. even if they enjoy it, the other person enjoys it or something like that, or like a waking character up with a blowjob and they like it, but still, since you didn't ask for consent before, it's kind of on the non-con spectrum.
We just have a rule where if it's real people, it counts, and if it's not real people, it doesn't count. Like, that's a very simple, easy rule.
Yeah, but, this is all talking about non-con within the fictional realm.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, still drawing a little from real life into the not real life, into the fiction. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
In the sense that in real life, you shouldn't do that certain stuff. And for that reason, you could say that it's in fiction under the non-con umbrella. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, our games are very wholesome and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not really non-con or anything.
It's wholesome.
Games are very wholesome.
I love wholesome Lolly Shota. Like I have my non-con character specifically. But the comic itself is all about wholesome, coming to love yourself and coming to love another through it. And it's just you want to hold hands. Like, I love seeing that shit in the scene.
Well, then you love playing IA and IA 2 then.
Oh, well, listen, hit me up. I got you. I don't really play any video games, but I'm about a TV right now. So it's not like I can play Elden Ring instead or the other singular video game I've ever played. So I can play it this week exclusively.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'd love for you to play that.
Yeah, we'd love to take it out.
And it's a visual novel, so it's not super, super intense game. It is not voiced, but at some point we do want to get voice actors for our stuff. That's a long-term goal for us.
My dyslexic ass them have a hard fucking time, but I'll try my best.
I think there might be a RenPy thing for like automatically generated voice stuff.
No worries. I'll try my best. I'll read as much as I got and I'll get back to you guys, because I would love to just interact with other creators just about especially wholesome story-based Lolly and Shota creators, because I feel a lot of the times like one-off stories are so different than a long-standing character-driven character-building kind of conversation.
Yeah, and our games have lots of character building, and it even had, there's even some themes about accepting yourself as well.
That's awesome.
Yes, especially in the second game, since we kind of go deeper into certain subjects. But yeah, and that's I really, me and Hydra really enjoyed putting those themes in, because it makes people feel better about themselves.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
No, I'm not trying to be oh, I really want to talk about a comic, but I am on this show. And what we were just talking about, all of this drama with the concept of aunties or people not understanding you and so on and so forth, and just feeling so lost. I love hearing that you put that into your story, because that's a huge tenet of Bad Citizen, is the main character coming to terms with the fact yes, it's a porn comic. None of this is actionable. All of this is bad. All of it is non-con, technically speaking. But in the fiction, is about oh, I'm allowed to love this part of myself so deeply. And it's watching somebody kind of get there. And I think that we need to incorporate stuff like that more into porn. Except, I feel we need to start moving past quick sex and more into erotica. A good slow burn erotica with if they're not crying, why am I reading it from time to time? I want to see you cry because you feel something.
Yeah, and I've talked to people who have said they cried playing the game.
Holy God.
It meant so much for them, especially the second game. But, and you know, that's such a special thing to hear. And well, because we like to make our characters realistic in a way. And so they have their own struggles and backstories and stuff. And so one person told me that this one character from IE2, Robin, that their story really resonated with them because that character, she has a certain history with their parents and, you know, her career choices and her romantic choices and stuff like that. And it, you know, really meant a lot to that person. And, you know, it was amazing reading that comment. And that wasn't the only comment I read along those lines, but, you know, that was the one that stood out for me.
Literally, I didn't expect to come on here and be like so deeply sold on this video game as somebody who never interacted with a BN before ever.
Well, I'm happy you're interested. I feel pretty sold. Yeah, I mean, it still has plenty of sex.
Oh, listen, you gotta have A and B.
Yeah, and it has plenty of both.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, and that's something we really wanted to do, me and Hydro, because we're not like, and we talked about this on some of the other episodes, but we're not like that, and there's nothing wrong with people who enjoy this kind of thing, but we're not really into like porn games where it's like I think how Hydro put it is like so like two characters are talking, like they just met, and the protagonist like takes his dick out, and then sex happens.
And magically sex just happens.
Like that's the development, basically. It's like, oh, big penis, well, I guess I just have to have sex now. And I find no interest in that at all.
I am fully on board with that. Yeah, same.
Yeah, and you know, someone's into that.
I'm not saying that I'll still like, you know, look at one-offs and the animations and stuff, just because I like if the quality of the work is really good, I'll definitely be fine with that, you know, like, or if it like starts off where it's just like right in the middle of the sex or whatever, then it's fine.
Or I think for like more niche stuff like Lolling Shota, it feels like I can absolutely like a comic where it's like they just immediately start fucking.
Yeah.
But like for example, if it's like, okay, you got your standard and non-offensive adult man and adult woman, and it's just like them fucking, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, sometimes you need to be doing something different for that. If it's going to be real boring, there's got to be a niche.
Yeah, I need some kind of hook. Like if it's a character I like if it's fan art, for example, you know, some kind of hook a lot of the time. I'm not gonna lie that, I mean, I still like enjoy just like images that are just porn, but in terms of like having some kind of interest beyond just the sexy stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll put it this way. It's like a good context and a good hook enhances it. Like I can still enjoy it when it's just fucking, you know, I can still absolutely enjoy it.
I'm not going to read the second chapter if it's just fucking. I will read the second chapter if it's like, wait a second, I know his name, I know his mom, let's get involved.
Yeah, yeah, he's not just like a torso with no head.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Or floaty penis.
What is it? I have the privilege, and also like, this is what's wrong with me at the same time, of being like the second manga I ever read in my entire life when I was like 12 was Kodomo no Jinken. So I was introduced to Lolly through plot, like deep plot, like 12 or like 24 books long or something long plot. And like they don't fuck till the last book, and it was like, yes, yes.
It must have been quite a payoff.
Oh my god, it was like years long payoff, that being the first one you interact with, and then going back into the scene and seeing very like stagnant word, which is again amazing. We're all saying we love some good, just like, that's some pussy, that's some dick, that shit's good. But like,
yeah,
some like getting that deep-seated stuff like being so sparse is like kind of jarring.
You know how like we had for a while, you had Cyberpunk Edge Runners, and you had that Rebecca character who by Dr. X and I's definition is not a lolly. She is not.
No, she is short stack.
You could call her that. She's basically a short adult female is what she is. But anyway, it's like people really came to her defense when people were, you know, being met all angry that she's a loli and stuff like that. And why did that happen? Well, it was because people were invested in that character. The show was popular. And I think that is probably going to be an important catalyst for people to bridge that gap with the people who maybe are not into Loli Shota, or maybe they don't like it, is to come up with a show that's got a lot of amazing characters, a really good story, and then has these relationships that go into, you know, the more not safe for work side. Because it's like, I know what's going to happen with, I know how fandoms work. If like they suddenly have all these characters they really like and they're really dedicated to them. And then all of a sudden you throw in, you know, oh, and by the way, they're going, you know, they're eventually going to fuck, you know, and people are just like, yeah, that's fine with me because they're already invested in the story and the character. And I think that's what it's going to take. It's just, you have to, well, you just have to have a moment where the catalyst will happen and you'll have a show like that. And that's why Dr. X and I really like the fact that you've got shows like The Maid I Recently Hired is Mysterious. I'm hoping they come out with another season of that, because that's like one of the first like fairly like it's on Crunchyroll and all these other streaming sites. And it's literally about a Shota and an adult female maid and they're them developing like a romantic relationship. So I want to see that. I want to see it happen.
Have you ever read the Straight Shota one where it's that girl who it's like Yankee boy and nerdy girl is basically what it's called?
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh my god. It's like one of the only straight shotas I've really read. Like when I'm interacting with straight shota, it's like once in a month and I'm like specific situations. But this one, it's just so fucking charming and it's so fucking funny, because she's like, well, I'm just a shotacon. I don't like this neighbor boy I have. Like he doesn't have cat ears. He isn't a neko boy. And seeing her fall, like slowly be like, wait, I really, really like him, and watching his relationship being that I really like her. Like they'd never fucked in the story. They'd never even kissed. They'd never held hands. But you're just like experiencing these very fun characters, like great comedy, great like illustrated timing and so on and so forth. But like also there's nothing inappropriate about the relationship, which is almost like the exact opposite of that stereotype. But like, is also weirdly approachable if you're willing just to look past it. Like, there's nothing weird happens. It's just goofy, good fun. Because also, like, I think the ability to incorporate comedy into any kind of medium is the first big bastion of people giving less of a shit about it being like problematic.
Oh, absolutely. Because it softens it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make it seem as offensive or jarring to people, because it helps them register that this is just all fantasy and fiction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like it's like if you, and I also think people are less like, oh, these weird lolicons were so like, yo, da-da, like little freaks. It's like if they know we can laugh at ourselves, then there's less of like this like, oh, we like, I don't know, because I also feel like we're having this conversation, and then I think I'm like, you know, I'm not talking about politics, I promise, but like there's bigger things going on than me being pissed off that people don't like that I draw like naked lollies on the internet. But like also like at the same time, like, and like because we can laugh at ourselves, I feel like it takes that kind of like intensity away, like of being like, yeah, well, this is a problem that you don't accept me, compared to like, we're all just here to have a good time, guys. I'm not trying to like freedom fight. I'm just trying to have fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, most of us just want to have an easy life and enjoy what we like and stuff like that. That's really all I ask of other people, is that that they let me do the kind of work I do, because it doesn't hurt anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes your creations do the fighting for you. So that's an important thing. That's kind of what I'm going back to, is if a show comes out, gets popular, has a lot of fans, a lot of people who like the different characters, well, like Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, for example. There's clearly a huge amounts of straight Shota vibes between, you know, Shota and I always forget the
Lakua,
yes.
There's also Lolly and Lolly vibe.
Yeah, yeah, so there's that. And I mean, if people... what people don't realize is that the manga is way more explicit on that stuff.
Oh.
And so, and yet nobody really, you don't really see anybody complaining about it. At least if they do, that people just either ignore them and it shuts it down. So that's a great example of where it's the creative work kind of does the fighting for you.
So is it worth watching? Cause it's been on my Liz.
I'm tempted. I've been tempted to watch it personally.
You haven't seen it?
I've only seen a little bit of it, and I only saw that one part where the American or the English dub did these goofy changes and stuff.
Yeah. You guys are pretty cringy. You run a Lolly podcast, Lolly Shota podcast, and you haven't even seen the dragon one. What? It's your job.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first episode or two, but the first episode or two doesn't really reveal the Lolly or Shota character at all.
On that note, actually, I've been thinking of having an episode where we do research beforehand of about Shota history or Lolly history or something.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yes. Yeah. And
that'd be a lot of fun.
And we'd probably have to watch at least a little bit of Dragon Mage,
which I'm fine with. Episode.
Yes. So. But, you know...
Write it off on your taxes. Watch the Lolly anime. Yeah,
even though Shonen Lolly is kind of niche, it's less niche in Japan, so that means there's... If you want to be, a Lolly and Shota expert, you have to go through so much stuff. You know, for example, that anime we just talked about, but, you know, tons of manga and stuff. And we did talk a little bit about... Shota and Lolly history with Misery in that previous episode, but it's something I want to do more research about. But
you could both pick a time period and do a deep dive into a 10 to 20 year span.
Yeah, that would be fun, and it may or may not happen because we have a lot of ideas that we want to do too. Because we also wanted to do an episode where we talk about what is a Shota and what is a Lolly.
Oh my god, the controversy, wild.
And then we wanted to do an episode where we wanted to rank the different, I think actually that was going to be part of it, what was ranking the Lollies and Shotas.
But basically, how some creators will do a tier list video or something. So we could do that with Shota characters, that would be a lot of fun, and Lolly characters.
If anything, now I'm just jealous I'm not going to be on all every single one of them. Jesus, that sounds like a great fucking time.
Well, you know, everyone who's a guest is welcome to ask to be on the podcast again, because they can absolutely be on it again. And we've had a great time with every single guest, including you.
We are still recording, so I don't know. It doesn't feel very professional for me to be oh yeah, I had a great time. This is going I didn't expect it to be as fun as it was. I'm having so much fun. That feels like after chat conversation kind of stuff.
But that's okay, because you know some people are a little, some people are a little apprehensive about being on the podcast or a little unsure, especially if it's someone we haven't talked about extensively beforehand. But you know, it seems like everyone has had a good time, and I think part of that is because it's not super common that you can talk so candidly about these issues, and especially in a kind of very chill environment where it feels like you're just talking with friends and stuff like that.
And especially knowing that it's going to the ears of people who, for the most part, will agree with you and will understand. It's not like, I'm afraid this is going on YouTube and it's going to instantly be found by somebody who's going to talk shit and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is an insider podcast for people who are involved in the scene. There's such a safety there.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we only share the podcast on the communities that who already like this shit. So this is all preaching to the choir stuff, but I even so, it's I'm sure because if I was just a listener and not a part of the podcast, I would fucking love this podcast, and I'm not bragging by saying that.
But
it's so special because we don't see this anywhere else. Like I don't I don't think this has ever been done in a, somewhere else, you know?
You know, you say that, but I bet you money there's like 12 other podcasts that have a singular episode that you can find like on only Free Speech Tube from 2000 and like... Everything's had a billion podcasts now, you know what I mean? It's the ones that are good that matter.
Yeah, well, I think we're doing pretty good so far.
I'm having it. Yeah, I think I can't, no complaints. I only got to fully listen to one episode and I was very enthralled. Especially, yeah, like, especially because, like, I didn't even know there were Lolly VTubers and I didn't never even thought about the concept of Lolly, like, voice actors. Like, I never thought about their day-to-day. That's so interesting. There's so many parts of this community that I feel like can be deeply expounded upon that I really hope that you guys don't end up mostly talking to artists, because artists are just a small portion, or like, you know, illustrative artists, because artists are such a small portion of this entire kind of almost like lifestyle that it seems that has popped up on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, just talking to people who aren't necessarily artists, but maybe they do something else, or maybe even enjoyers, but... as of right now, we're focusing on artists, but you know, it's absolutely true that everyone who's in the community who even just likes Lolly and Shota, they're super important too. Like, they're very important people.
You should consider getting some people who are commissioners on. Like, you know, people have their own singular OCs and they have like 100 drawings of them. I think those motherfuckers know more about the community than anybody else. Because they know how it is to talk to the people, you know, that with our working on it. Like, I think that would be a great perspective to hear from.
Yeah, and in a way, they're, well, since they have a character they keep commissioning work for, they're creators themselves. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I'll clarify for myself that on the podcast, we have creators on is what we're doing right now. So it could be like a writer.
Yeah,
it could literally just be someone with an OC. It could be someone who does like a live streamer or something like that, or stuff like that. And all that stuff is super valuable and important. Yeah, you know?
It's great to see. It really is.
Yeah, and usually what we do is ask someone how they got into Lolly or Shota, and I think you might have touched upon that a little bit earlier. But what can you say about that? Like, how did you get into it?
This, like, you know, that when you guys asked me on the show, I was like, I can't wait to tell the story, and it's been an hour and a half, and I just completely forgot to. So actually, I got into Lolly and Shota because I had a really, well, I read Dream Saga, and in that there's which is like a very like old shonen or shoujo from Tokyo Pop, which had a kind of age difference relationship between like a 12-year-old and like a 17-year-old, though, you know what I mean? Very like card captors kind of vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that like stuck with me, but it didn't really mean anything to me. I'm also, again, super dyslexic, so it's also the first book I ever read, because I didn't learn how to read till like the fourth or fifth grade. So mm-hmm. It's literally the first book I ever read had an age difference relationship in it, but that's besides the point, because I never knew about the porn, never really got interested. I had a crush on my best friend since kindergarten, and I was that little gay kid, like, female presenting, had a crush on another girl, and I would do anything to make her think I was cool. And one day she's like, come upstairs with me, we're gonna look at my Wii. And I was like, oh, what are we gonna look at on your Wii? And like, it's a surprise. They take me upstairs, again, awkward little kids, and fucking show me Naruto Sasuke porn. And I looked at that and I was like, whoa, wait a second, two boys kissing? And you're a girl and I'm a girl and I want to kiss you. Are you trying to tell me something? And then we're just looking at all of the Shota like all night. And like at the time they were old, as old, if not older than how old I was. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I was like, this was literally the first porn I ever saw. I didn't even Google boobies. Like was Naruto Sasuke porn? And then I went home that night and I went on Photo Bucket in like 2008. Like, and I found, I looked at Naruto porn and the first thing I saw was Naruto and Tsunade. And I was like, whoa, it's wildin'. And so I, that was my favorite picture, but it wasn't the only picture I looked at, but it was like the thing that I constantly went back to. And then I came across Lolly a little bit later than that. Like, I think at the time it was like ToddCon, because I was so young. I wasn't thinking of soccer as a Lolly. I wasn't thinking of like all these characters as Lollies. I think it was probably some ToddCon. And I saw that and I was like, no, this shit's different. It's different. And ever since, that has been like my go-to. Like, I have non-con kings, I like all different kings, I like real people too. But like, when it comes down to my bare bones, it all goes back to Latin Naruto Sasuke with, their name rhymes with dope.
Isn't it interesting, Dr. X, how each person that we've generally asked about how do they get into Lolly and Shota, usually they started off, you know, when they were younger, and it almost sounds like, I think it makes sense as to why we like Lolly and Shota and don't find it offensive, because we related to it. Like, when we first saw it, we were just like, wow, this isn't that far off from where I was when I, you know, when it, because that's exactly how I thought. Like, I remember I'd look at, let's see, that there was the Kama Sutra and Dragon Ball Z, which was right, like, that was like 2004, 2005, that was Pandora's Box, and it was just, Bulma, and I think it was the son of Goku, I think, and it was just straight. Yeah, what's his name?
Gohan. I think I would be remiss if I didn't tell you.
You can tell I'm not a Dragon Ball person because I don't remember all the names, but I did remember that comic, and I loved the straight Shota in it. It's one of those things where, like, you don't think that it's you don't see it as being that different. You actually see it as far more relatable and the same compared to, like, seeing other stuff where it's people who are much older than what you were when you were seeing it. It's very interesting how that seems to happen.
When I first saw it when I was young, I didn't really think of it in a kind of like a bad way or like even like a very like particular way, you know what I mean? It was just there. I liked it, and that was it. I didn't like think about it beyond that. I probably thought it was cool. Probably thought it was cool that they were kind of the same age as me or something. But it's like, in other words, what I'm saying is, like, it didn't feel weird for me.
I'll push back on that a little bit, because I think most of what it is for me, especially even back then, was the age difference itself. Like, the Naruto Sasuke thing was cool because this girl I like was showing me it. But the first thing that I found was like a notably older person with that character, and that's what got me. Like, I don't think it was like, there was definitely like, oh, that character's me with this person, but like, it wasn't like, oh, this is a thing that I could do with my buddies. It was like, yo, why are old people so hot? Fuck. Like, and that follows me to this day, that it's like, it's the Lolly is just as hot as the active party. They're both supposed to be really fucking hot.
Oh, I absolutely know what you're talking about, because I was very much into older people when I was young too. So,
oh god, we're all cursed.
Yeah, I guess. but so I did like it when I saw like a Shota or a Lolly with an older character, because I liked older people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was absolutely a part of it for me. It wasn't just, you know, seeing the Lolly or Shota character. It was in the context of a age gap relationship. I mean, I still enjoyed the Lolly X Shota stuff as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, as the stuff where it's like a Lolly and a adult person or Shota an adult person, it hits different. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Most of my friends are really like, their first introduction was like Lolly on Lolly or Lolly on Shota or Shota. And they're like, and to this day, that's still like their favorite stuff. Like, literally, like, my like four best friends are all into Lolly and Shota. That's all their go to. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I get it. But like,
yeah, because I would say my absolute favorite kind of pairing would be a Shota with an adult woman. It's my absolute favorite. But I would say, but in a more general sense, I would say even though I enjoy, like, a, you know, the Lolly X Shota stuff a lot, I overall enjoy Lolly X Adult or Shota X Adult more. And it's interesting, everyone has their own preferences on that. Kind of interesting thing for the games we make is that it's completely optional to go with whatever character romantically or sexually, right? And what that means is people who are only into lollies and not MILFs, because there's absolutely people who are like that, right? They have the option. They have the option to completely just go after the MILFs and or the lollies exclusively and not go for the other kind. And it's so interesting, people's preferences and stuff like that.
Especially because there's so much overlap.
And in the second game, we have a Shota. You can romance as a Shota, so that's a gay option. And some people play the game only for that.
Yep.
Yeah. Most probably.
Well, I think most people play for the Shota in MILF content.
Really?
Well, what ended up happening was IA became this, because we kind of were figuring this was going to happen, because we offered the ability to have Shota Loli, Shota MILF, Shota Young Adult, and now Shota, that we would get a community that combines every type of person who's, and sure enough, we get some people who are playing the game just for interacting with the Shota for the gay romance. Some play it just for the MILFs. Some play it just for the lollies.
And then, of course, where's your adult male character?
I know people have suggested that, and it may very well happen in the third game. But
ooh, well,
yes. And but you know, we're work on the second game for now. But I definitely hear people when they suggest that. So stay tuned.
In my personal experience, I have almost exclusively interacted with like male-bodied people who love Shotas, and like it's age difference, MLM, all day. I think like the most, like the highest condensed amount of people I've interacted with on Barov are almost all like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's that, or because I specifically run in the trans community on Barov, which is like actually extremely big. Like it's people who prefer trans Shotas, and it's people who prefer men loving men Shota. And that is my entire time, like my entire feed, which is rough for me because that's not my shtick. I just like them as people and artists.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So that's interesting. It's not really your shtick.
MLM Shota.
Oh, you mean like Shota X Shota?
Or Shota X Adult Male, Shota X Shota.
Oh, yeah, but don't you have that pairing in your comic?
No, that's a female body per... Well, yeah, that's... Okay, cisgendered Shota X Shota.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's... I get it now.
And also yeah, like, yeah, I mean, like, they're not my kink. I think that their romance is beautiful, so I wrote it. Like, but they're not... it was more that I wanted a trans body in my comic. It's less that, like, that's my go-to. When it comes to my kinks, the blonde character I draw, Violet, is probably like my go-to like favorite kind of lolly.
Oh, cool.
I just like that story better, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but yeah, it's so like it's there's lots of overlap, even though there's like people who are like exclusive about what kind of character they like to romance in the games. There's still a lot of overlap because there's absolutely people who like who want to fuck the MILFs and who want to fuck the lollies and want to fuck the Shotas as well. So,
and there have been people who have played who said, you know, I never had thought about going for the lolly character, or I had never thought about going for the MILF character, but because I like their character so much, I went with their route and I really liked it. We've had people do that too, which is cool because it means that we're
writing.
Because it means we're opening the door for people who may not have wanted to explore this, but because we created characters that they enjoy, they're willing to give it a shot, and then they end up liking it, which is really cool, very exciting.
Yeah, it's good to feel like you've had some influence on your viewers, like you affected them in some way. A little bit of a rush.
I mean, you probably know this as a writer of your comic. You know, you're ultimately you create it for yourself to enjoy, right? Like that's the number one thing. But when you get other people reading it and they say how it affected them positively or how they really got emotional over it or whatever, that's also just as satisfying, if not more. Because now you're like, oh man, I like that. This is so great. I can enjoy it because I love writing it, but now other people enjoy it, and that motivates you more.
Yeah.
To continue it.
I recently did a thing where I asked Sambara, like, why do you follow me? And the people saying Bad Citizen, like, I was like gonna start fucking crying. I was having a really rough day. I was like, oh my god, they like me. Like, it feels so good. It feels so good to know that you put so much love and effort and time into something and it's actually being seen. and it's actually being responded to in the ways that you've always dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's only to two people, I don't care. That's two people.
Yeah, like that's two lives you've touched with your stuff.
Yeah. That's more than a lot of people can say they've done with it when it comes to like working in the arts specifically. Like, and you know what? I'm happy the perverts.
Yep, that's right. I mean, the podcast is kind of about that too, like us so-called perverts just having a good time and showing that we're just people, you know.
Oh yeah, it's definitely come through. Again, this has been a fantastic time. Like, that's the thing, like I feel like we're having so much like natural, very like loose conversation, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm looking at my Girl from the Other Side poster on my wall. That's my favorite lolly. I also have her tattooed on my arm. I also have her as a sticker on my water bottle in my background on all of my things. I could tell you what my favorite lolly is. Like, I am
actually curious about what your favorite lolly is, because that is something we sometimes ask people, like, what is your favorite character? And a lot of times, 99% of the time, we get guests who say, like, I don't know, I don't really have a favorite, but you do.
Oh, I fucking
so,
know. She's tattooed on my goddamn arm. Okay, so my favorite lolly is Shiva from Girl from the Other Side by Su Le Run, is like the secondary line of the title. I forgot the word title, that was really hard. And it's by Nagabi, who, if you don't know, is pretty much the closest we get to being an open lolly shota artist that like I can find at a local bookstore. He is a Japanese mangaka who makes these amazing, like, very German fairy tale inspired illustrations, deep ink work, like, absolutely, like, if you are listening to this and you don't know who Nagabi is, wait, you might. Do you remember back on the day when Tumblr had that meme going around of the bird porn of the eagles falling out of the sky?
Dr. X, do you know of it? I didn't use Tumblr very much.
I love how you directed it to me, because you know I use Tumblr a little bit.
while you're using it, that's more than me. I barely used it, so...
I'm talking 2012, so it's okay if you don't remember. I found out that was Nagabi, like, after finishing the series and being like, what the fuck? You the bird porn guy? Like, this is beside the point. It's a very German folklore kind of style story about a young girl who's found by this creature in the woods who, and as the story goes on, you find out this creature is like a person who like is being cursed by this woods that's kind of trying to reclaim society, and like there's a curse going on in town, and like everyone who gets touched by these creatures becomes one, and like they just happen to be really tall, sexy, dark figures in a beautiful like black trench, and like, oh, it's so well illustrated. And it's the story of him trying to save her from being captured by like this religious monarchy who's trying to use her to find the cure. And it's fucking beautiful. And Shiva, out of every lolly I've ever interacted with, because again, like as I stated, I don't really watch a lot of lolly. I don't really interact with a lot of like media like this. Shiva just acts very authentically young. And there's something about that that I find really refreshing. It's like she's still a lolly, she's still like a fucking anime character and adorable and all those things, big head, all the shit. But like her joy and her youthfulness is so genuine. It's a very interesting read, because like you're seeing this young girl going through society where, not even a society anymore, lost with this singular person who's there to care for her well. And she's so fun and yet aware of what's happening, and sometimes responds in ways that like are very like, she's throwing a tantrum because she doesn't know what's going on and she's concerned and she's stressed, and it's just so well written. And like, of course we have the, I'm a monster, and if I touch her, she turns into a monster, but I love her, and I can never hold her. And you know my heart just be fluttering like no one's goddamn business. Like, oh my god, give me that archetype, I will die instantly. And like, but he also, and so she's my favorite lolly of all time. But he also has this short series called Love on the Other Side, which is an entire series of just different lollies falling in love with different monsters. Like, and it's, but like, they are honest to God lollies. And like, there's one story that is like very funny to me, because it just seems like Nagabi's like, I don't fucking care, I like what I like. He has all the same things I do, but he just does them so much better. He does like, he has this one story that's a young boy who's like bullied at school who goes to the zoo all the time and falls in love with this lion. And like, it's him like in this lion pen after like once this zoo closes, sneaking into it, and this lion who's like this boisterous person who's like, I am a king and you will be my subject, and them slowly falling in love. And like, it's just like, he is so unabashed, and you can get it at fucking Barnes and Nobles.
Wow, that's amazing.
Dog, I'm sorry, I just went off. He's so good at what he does, dude. It's insane.
I gotta check that stuff out, because it's especially interesting that you can like get it at Barnes and Nobles, and it reminds me of what we were talking about earlier, where like, depending on you, how you kind of package it,
yeah,
the Lolly and Shota stuff can be like more palatable for people. You know what I mean?
Well, he also throws in this kind of, no, that's a spoiler. I'm not gonna say any spoilers. He throws in a nugget that's never revealed to be like, maybe it's not that they're in love, or maybe that it is. We don't know. And it's never told one way or another. He keeps it specifically ambiguous for you to know. Is he in love with her, or does he have this different kind of relationship with her?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking awesome. And also, if he has all those other ones, then you know what the answer is, because he has all of these other stories that are going into, no, I am a Lolly Shota artist. To have an 11 book series that does that so well. Oh my god. And you cry all the time. It's so sad and so beautiful. Y'all should read it.
Yeah, I should take a look at that.
Yeah, you gotta send us a link to it.
Absolutely.
Send us a link. So that way we can take a look.
And what were you saying about the art style?
Oh, it's so like not anime that like, I have it tattooed on my arm, and people are like, what is that? Oh my god, what is that? And I'm like, it's just a book. And no one's like, oh, is that a lolly? I guess I also have a favorite Shota, kind of. And so I said I don't like MLM, but like, which is so funny. It's not multi-level marketing, it's man loving man. But it's so funny. It's so hard to say.
Multi-level marketing. I like that though. It's a disguise though.
I am obsessed with Moog and Mikkola from Elden Ring. If you know who they are.
Oh, see, Dr. X and I have not played Elden Ring hardly at... Well, Dr. X hasn't played it at all. I've only played it maybe like for, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Well, they have a canon Shota character. Well, Shota, very 1,000-year-old Lolly dragon stereotype character. And one of the lead villains is like, I'm in love with you. I will be your concubine. Come to me. And it's so fucking fun. It's so fun, and he's also a big, completely blacked out monster, which I guess is my kink, and I didn't fully know it until more recently. with tiny blondes, it's like, it's the perfect combination, and like, he runs a cult, and he's just, everything he does is about how much he's in love with this boy, his boy wife, and like, and I also have his symbol tattooed on my body too, because I just don't like being subtle.
Oh really, so you have a symbol from that game on... As a tattoo?
Yeah, I have a bunch of tattoos. Yes, cool. I have two symbols from that gang Leza tattoo. It's really embarrassing.
Okay, so that monster is like unambiguously in love with that boy?
Yes, and yes, unambiguous. Like, he, his entire cult, like, their thing is, we are all about love. We love. This is our thing. We're lovers. We all love each other. And it's like, no, you kidnapped a boy, but this is besides the point.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's the only reason I played the game. I don't play video games. And my roommate was playing it, and he was like, oh yeah, you like Lolly and Shota? This guy's a total pervert. And I went, what? I don't play this fucking video game. And now I've played almost every Dark Souls game.
Oh, man.
I have played Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, probably like for several hours, but I didn't beat it.
The beautiful boy prince in that one, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a Shota in that one. Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
I guess. Your entire plot is that you're trying to save the Shota.
That's right. maybe that's why I subconsciously wanted to play it.
That was the only one you played. You're like, because look at him. He's just so cute. They do the immortal Shota thing.
Maybe Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon will have a Shota or Lolly in it.
I want Shota robots. Just fucking punching shit.
Or you have to just save like a human Shota or a human Lolly or something with your awesome robot vehicle. That'd be sick.
The fact of the matter is they will never add a lolly. I don't know why, but I know it for a fact. You know what I mean? There's something about just the entire world building. I'm like, there's never going to be a young girl in any of your stories, is there? You son of a bitch.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, you wouldn't expect, like, oh, I see, you're saying, like, they wouldn't put a lolly in, but they would put a Shota in, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know why, the vibe is just correct. I think if you asked anybody who really plays the dames, they'll probably agree with you. It's a boys' game or a trans woman's game. I'm just here. But yeah, no. So those are my two favorites, and I really like scanning those two couples because I'm like, oh, god damn it. Now I'm like, no, wait, my other favorite, my one that's actually from an anime, Kenpachi and Yuichiro. That was my first crush as like a little kid.
And they're from what anime?
From Bleach.
It's an anime I haven't seen before, but what can you tell us about the pairing?
A giant man who's like the size of a fucking house with spiky black hair who has a heart of like stone minus for this girl who's like Todd-con level big pink-haired sweetheart who's also good at fighting. I don't know, I was 14 and it was after I got in the lolly and I saw then and I went, oh god, I want to, every character description I just gave is like, I want to be in a polyamorous relationship with. Like, I don't like one or the other, it's all about the poly situation, man.
It seems like you're really into the size different stuff.
I love it. I love, dog. My partner's 6'4", and I always tell him the only person I'll leave him for is somebody who's 6'5". Yes, I love a giant motherfucker, monster-sized motherfucker.
There's definitely like a community of people who like the monster stuff on Barag.
I know. I really wish I would tap into it more. But again, I don't really draw porn that I find hot all that much. I find it hot because I like lolly, but I'm not over here like, I want to draw something that gets me so distracted that I can't finish it because I have to go finish myself up to stairs. That's a waste of my time. I'm at work. But it's work for me. Like, I know it's my favorite thing to do and I love it a lot, but I do try to very much keep it as much of a job as possible in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
If someone is to live off of their income off of Shonen Lolly stuff, they do have to treat it as a job.
Prioritize. Yeah, yeah. Like, I definitely think, like, when it comes to taking commissions and so on and so forth, that I do try to stick to specific, like, genres. Like, I'll take some weird stuff here and there, but, like, I will definitely go, like, oh, this commission, like, I put 100% effort into every commission I do, but I will go extra and above and beyond. Like, I have a comic that's coming up that's, like, an 8-page comic. They didn't pay for 8 pages, but I was like, this is so on brand for me. If I can make it as good as physically possible, I will literally give you free pages because this is going to get me followers. This is going to get me back in the branding that I'm used to because I've gone so far into non-con right now because I haven't had time to do like long form, which my long form is my wholesome stuff and my non-con's like my individual images. So like I gave them free pages because I was like, this is literally the best branding I could physically do right now when I'm starting my comic next week. Like, I'm getting back into it next week because my day job starts back up.
Are you currently taking commissions?
Yes. I'm because my day job starts back up next month, at the end of this month, actually, I'm going in tomorrow. I am winding down and I'm going to try to keep it to 3 commissions a month. Because I really do want my comic to be my main priority outside of work right now. Just because I haven't had the time over the summer. I thought I was going to get a lot more for my unemployment than I did. So I had the focus exclusively on commissions for the summer. So I was taking like, oh my God, like, fuck. So I was doing like 7 a month. It was a lot. It is a lot. 7-8 a month. But I can't keep that going anymore. And then next summer, I'm back at it, motherfuckers. Yeah. So yeah, if anybody's listening to this and they want to commission me, I just told you my secret. If you go through my shit and you see that it's really on brand, I might give you a second image for free. Please be kind about it.
So what is your handle on Barag?
I think it's just Hecky or it's Heckybot. Elmerdell, I have no idea. I have to check.
Well, we'll put your Baraga link up on the podcast video episode, so that way people will see it.
Okay, actually, it's just Hecky, Heckie.
Cool. And is this your like only account?
I also have a Pixiv.
a Pixiv as well. Cool. So people can check you out on Pixiv or Barag, but I assume you're more active on Barag.
No, I'm equally active on both. I keep, oh, I don't bitch and moan on Pixiv. I only bitch among Barag, so. So on Pixiv, if you want Hecky with none of the baggage, you go to Pixiv. If you want Hecky and a little bit of personality, you go to Barag.
All right, well, I think that's all the time we have for today's episode, and it was a great pleasure talking to you, Hecky.
Oh my god, you guys too, like, for real, for real.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm glad you joined us. So it was a lot of fun talking, and good luck on getting, you know, your commissions and continuing to try to get your, you know, income going, because, you know, that's always a challenge with creative people like us. You know, there's a reason why the term starving artist is so true and so applicable.
Oh my god, no, I'm an illustrator. I sold my soul. I wanted the money. I didn't go to fine arts for a reason, but yes.
And did you ever think of going on Subscribestar, or do you think like you like the commission style more? Or I guess because you have to work like a day job, it's probably harder if you had something like a Subscribestar.
I need a fan box, but like I just don't have the time to really do more than we already have. So like technically I have a fan box, so if you want to give me money for free without getting any extra special stuff, minus maybe some sketches. Thanks. $5 will really help, but I'm also doing okay, but I would consider Subscribestar. I actually didn't hear about it until I met you guys, so I'm gonna look into it after this call.
Oh, cool.
Glenn, if you need help with that, just be sure to ask us about it if you need help.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. Thank you for all of this.
Yeah, absolutely.